Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is the name of this program. We're here for another 25 more minutes. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman and Steve Paisley Jordahl. Going just good morning, Brother Steve.
Aloha.
And Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. Aloha.
Well, I'm wearing Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Yeah, it's not Paisley today.
Not
it's
today.
A Hawaiian floral look.
That's right.
What good morning, everybody. Do you want to bring up something, Wesley?
You were asking me about Bennett's program. There's a lot of graduation going on today, and Bennett's graduating right now. Going from third grade to fourth grade.
Right, but I didn't get an invitation.
Wait,
for
they
that.
Graduate it's, from third to fourth now?
It's during the radio program, so it's taking place. Oh, so we
right
had to
now.
Choose.
I'm just saying, I think Americans we're getting a little carried away with these graduation gifts.
I'm thinking.
So we got graduation for high school, junior college, now kindergarten.
That's right.
So now we got to buy a gift for kindergarten.
Yeah. Nana's going to do that.
If you put something in between, I don't think you need to have a graduation ceremony from fifth to sixth grade.
Okay, I got you.
I graduated from the fall of my fourth grade year to the spring of my fourth grade
grade year.
There and I want a new gift.
Yeah. And that's in between Christmas.
How many? Did you get any high school or college graduation invitations? Right.
We do every year.
You ignore them. You like throw them in the garbage? What do you do?
I give them to Marlene. Oh, actually,
you give them to your wife,
right? I just give them to or more likely, Steve. She reads them, shows them to me, or maybe she doesn't. She just takes care of that, right?
We married well.
Did you get any?
We married well. We did. We had some kids that we know their parents in our church. Yeah. Our kids.
Did you have any though that you got in the mail? You thought, come on, man, this is a reach.
No,
we don't even hardly know each other.
We're in the middle of this age where our friends' kids are not grandkids aren't graduating from high school quite yet, and kids are way beyond. They're married and have kids. So,
but we all get that one or two that we go, they're just wanting a gift out of me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even know me if you see me out in public. Okay.
No, we decided.
But I get a graduation invitation.
Yes, that's right.
Kids from I teach a Sunday school class, so kids that are from my the kids of my classes. What am I saying?
You're saying about you.
The
what grade
that are
do
in
you
my
teach?
Classes.
What grade do you teach?
I don't teach a grade. I 12, 18th, 24th. This is an adult class. My age. I teach a Sunday school class.
Okay.
If any of the people in my class have kids that are graduating,
then you get an invitation.
Well, we haven't gotten an invitation to any graduate. We haven't been in a graduation ceremony, but we give them gifts through church. You know, we'll set one of those envelopes on the kids' tables at the church. They didn't have that, by the way, in the West Coast. You never set up tables for graduates like you do in the South here. I never saw that in my life until I got here.
Graduation.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know. Somebody, yeah.
You mean a table at church, like with like memorabilia and pictures?
Yeah, all the pictures and the honors and everything. I'd never seen that till I got to the South.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that people didn't do that in other parts of the country.
No, it's a Southern thing.
Okay.
So much else. I'm learning.
Well, I think we escaped with like three or four invitations.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I've said before, getting a graduation invitation in the mail is like getting a subpoena. I mean, it really is. It's
like required to go.
You got to go. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Everybody deserves their moment in the sun, high school, junior college, or college. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Speaking of their moment in the sun, the former director of the FBI was in the sun, James Comey, strolling the beach, minding his own business, and he, as Chris says, stumbles upon a rock, shell formation that had a message to man. And joining us to talk about it is Bruce Rather. Bruce is a retired FBI agent, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, husband of Sandy Rios, our good friend and colleague. And Bruce has been speaking out on the FBI for a few years now in terms of, as I said, the good, bad, and the ugly. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. It's good to talk with you guys.
How many years were you with the Bureau?
I was with them for 24 years.
Wow. You got like full retirement benefits and stuff, don't you? Huh? 24.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. I loved it.
Now, were you like a field agent? Like, what was your role?
You know, my career, I was fortunate. It kind of spanned a little bit of everything. I started as a field agent, and that's what I enjoyed the most. I eventually became a manager for a short time for us. I did not like that. And then I became a polygraph examiner for a while and did enjoy that, questioning people, interrogating people. Then I went back to the field, and I finally finished up in internal affairs because I was starting to see under Obama what was happening with our organization, which has really blossomed into full badness the last few years. And I wanted to go there and try and make a difference. I don't know that I did, but I wanted to try.
Yeah. So you saw a change. How would you describe the change that started to happen during the Obama years?
Well, what happened is during Obama, we started lowering the requirements. As a polygraph examiner, I was very involved in hiring people because they had to pass a polygraph in order to get hired and get a security clearance. So I would spend 2 or 3 hours in a room alone with the person, and we had a 70-page, basically a resume of them, so you really got to know the person. And I would come home often after interviewing these people and polygraphing them and say to Sandy, I have no idea why we're even speaking to this person, let alone trying to hire them, because they just don't meet what we're looking for. But under these new regulations, these new standards, they were qualified, quote unquote.
Hey, Bruce, this is Steve Jordahl. A question. You're talking about the DEI type thing, the hiring people that don't qualify. Were you also concerned about the weaponization up at the upper management? Is that anything that
we're talking about in the Obama years?
Here. Oh, no.
Yes, you could see that beginning. There was a shift in who they were putting into management and what we were focusing on. And we were starting to get away from our core values, our core issues, our core law enforcement that we were, you know, had gone after traditionally. And you could just feel, especially under Mueller, when Director Mueller came on, he came on right at 9/11. If you remember, he was only in office about a week before 9/11 happened. And Mueller had much more of a corporate way of running a law enforcement agency instead of like the way cops normally run them. And we became much more intent on gathering intelligence and being more like the CIA than being a law enforcement agency. So really our whole focus shifted under him.
Are you encouraged with Kash Patel and Dan Bongino at the FBI?
So far I am. I'm kind of in a wait and see posture, but I will say after watching them interviewed the other night extensively, if what they say that is coming is true, I think we're going to be very happy. It's you know, they've only really been in there together about 2 months. And I'm telling you, as I said to many people when they went up there, I don't think they have any idea how tangled and how, you know, what a web has been woven up there to try to stop Trump and his administration from not only implementing their agenda, but from finding the bodies that have been left behind by O'Biden and Obama. Biden and Obama.
you got a combo word there. We can revisit that in a few minutes. Let's talk about James Comey, the former FBI director. I don't know how many years was he? Wasn't it 4 or 5 years? He served two different presidents, right?
I think he was during the transition.
I think he was there from 2013 to 2017, I believe. Okay. He was there about 4 years. But he was also the attorney general for a while, yeah. And he was the head of the Southern District of New York, which is the U.S. Attorney's Office that has constantly gone after President Trump.
He had, non-politically here, he had quite a distinguished career. He did until he got overt. He was considered somebody who was not political, which is the way it should be, really, with people in those positions, to being overtly political. We all remember the infamous press conference he held, where he basically told the world he wasn't going to touch Hillary Clinton, even though she was using an unsecured server to do State Department mm-hmm. business, and then she lied about it. And then he said, nobody cares. No reasonable prosecutor would do anything about this kind of activity.
Right. Which, by the way, set the plate for every, that got Trump off.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Trump fired him early on, I think, maybe 6 months in. I've forgotten how long it was into his administration. Yeah. What I want to ask you about this, it's controversy that nobody had heard from James Comey for a couple of years, I don't think, but he got into hot water here recently with some over this Instagram post that we've talked about, where this is last week, right? He took a picture of seashells he said he found on a beach, or now he says his wife did, in a formation. It's called 8647. That's the four numbers. And then didn't he write, "This is interesting," or something on the Instagram post? This is
I've been surprised at the interpretations of what 86 means. Primarily, I've heard people saying that 86 is a restaurant term that's used when they want to take something off the menu. But actually, the term 86 goes way back to the Korean War. The Americans, we were flying F-86 fighter planes, and that's when we were fighting the North Koreans, but essentially we were also fighting the Russians because they were providing MiG fighters to North Korea, and in fact some of the Russian pilots were fighting our guys. And the term for a victory by a United States pilot over a MiG was I-86'd him, because they were flying F-86s. So to me, 86 can have a much more nefarious, threatening type meaning than what a lot of people have been saying on TV. And of course, 47 refers to Trump, I'm sure. So we're looking at 8647. If you want to take the 86 meaning literally, it's kill Trump.
Or take out, whatever you want.
Take out.
But here's the part that James Comey says this is something his wife discovered, right, on the beach, and wanted him to take her.
Well,
I mean, the whole thing, and he took it down, didn't he?
He took the post down. Yeah. Bruce, I want to play.
Why would you take it down if it's innocent?
That's exactly my thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know, I was just going to say there's an explanation for this that I hadn't considered that James Comey brought up, and that I want to put out for you, because maybe he is innocent, because, well, after all, it was artistic, cut four.
Clever way to express a political view. The shells were the same color for each of the letters, so different colors for the letters. It took a lot of work. Somebody with artistic flair did that, and I have a hard time believing it was anybody with a dark intention. I regret the distraction and the controversy around it, but again, it's hard to have regret about something that, even in hindsight, looks to me to be totally innocent. Even if I think it's crazy, I don't want to be associated with violence of any kind.
That explains it, right, Bruce?
James Comey is such an, I would say, interesting would be the wrong word, but you know, he has to realize what position he holds in the American opinion. He has been in these high law enforcement positions. It's not like some guy goes on Instagram that's unknown and posts 8647.
Right.
He is the former director. And what's really bothering me is, even now that he has been interviewed by that's a pretty serious thing when you get interviewed by the Secret Service as to whether or not you're threatening the president, and he's had all this blowback, what's his reaction? He laughs at it. he acts like it's a big joke. I'm not one of these people calling for the hanging of James Comey, but I am for we need to put this in the proper perspective. And I think one of the things that James Comey needs to do is learn a lesson about his reckless behavior, because this is not the first thing he's done since, you know, if you look back to the beginning of the Trump administration, he was instrumental in trying to take their legs out from under them in the 45th term. He had mm-hmm. that meeting, quote unquote, secret meeting with Donald Trump, where he said they had these tapes of Trump with prostitutes in Moscow. And of course, Trump knew that was ridiculous. He knew that never happened. But Comey was trying to get leverage on Trump right away.
But then they set up General Flynn.
Yes.
The FBI did.
That was terrible. That was terrible. And that was all at Comey's direction. You know, you've heard him interviewed, and people ask, well, what were these agents doing interviewing Michael Flynn before really they'd even taken office? And he goes, I sent them. And he was so proud of himself.
I know.
And he loved talking about how they circumvented the protocol that normally it's done.
It was terrible.
I mean, this is what I mean. He's not sorry for what's going on.
And he was fired by then President Trump. So he's got a reason to be antagonistic back toward Trump. And anyway,
this is the same year in which we've had two attempted assassinations on President Trump too.
This year,
I think that is so relevant that we have all this violence happening. We have people trying to storm ICE facilities. We have people attacking people on airplanes wearing Trump hats. We have two, like you were talking, Wesley, two attempts on the president, one successful almost. And now a person of the stature of James Comey puts 86-47. And the other context for this is that term had just been used about a week before by a bunch of radical left-wingers talking about getting rid of Trump in a violent way. And here comes James Comey. And the other thing that bothers me about this is, do you really think he didn't set up those shells? Do you really think he just walked down the beach and found those? I mean, I find that just, you know, that's like when the Clintons found the cross on the beach in Normandy, made out of shells while they danced. And, oh, my gosh, you know, really?
No. All right. So one other question I had about the FBI that's been in the news, and that is Kash Patel, the FBI director, who has said that he intends to get 10% of the FBI workforce out of Washington, D.C. and spread them out across the country. That's what he said the other day. I think I got my numbers right there. What do you think? And there's been some talk about even doing more than that. I mean, I think President Trump or somebody brought up the idea of potentially moving the FBI to some other city outside of Washington, D.C. Yeah.
That was Cash himself who said that he was going to turn the FBI Hoover building into a museum to the deep state.
Yeah. Well, in his interview the other day, Cash said that they are moving out of that building, that they've located property. In fact, he and Bongino were spotted. I'm still trying to find out where it was, but they were spotted by people looking at real estate before last weekend, like an existing building. And I think that's what they're thinking about doing, is at least for temporary going to another building. And as far as moving people out of Washington, D.C., I am all for it. We are so top-heavy. The FBI is so top-heavy with managers upon managers upon managers. And really what they're doing is they are there creating their career. They're not fighting crime. It always amazed me how many people that were employed by us that weren't really worried about the crime fighting mission, they were worried about making a successful career for them and setting themselves up to have an after employment job with a bank or a security company. And you get those by going to headquarters and becoming a big shot. So I am all in favor. In fact, I joke, my very first assignment was Huntsville, Alabama. When I got there, we only had 10 people. There are now 1,500 people in Huntsville because
wow.
the decision was made to make, they call that headquarters two. So I always laugh. I said, see, it took 50, I tell Sandy, it only took 1,500 people to replace your deadbeat husband.
Hey, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. Okay, well, listen, Bruce, thanks so much. We'll have you back on again sometime soon. I want you to tell two or three of your stories that you've told me that I think enough time has lapsed since your career as a field agent where yeah, we could
right.
name some.
Well,
go ahead.
After the show, Sandy and I did regarding James Comey the other day, my pension may be stopping quickly.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, take care. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it so much.
Great talking with you guys. Thank you.
Okay, that's Bruce Rather joining us there to discuss the current state of the FBI, the vaunted. Ray, FBI's had a great reputation among the American people for decades and decades, didn't he?
Well, for several generations.
Yeah.
And these last years, it has become politicized.
Right.
It's moved to the left. It's given into DEI. And it's gone after people like us, conservatives, certainly gone after Donald Trump. And people's confidence is shaken. I thought it was interesting, his comments about Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. It's early, and it's a vast organization up there, which is interesting, too, that Bruce said, a vast entanglement of people who are fully dedicating to stopping Donald Trump. Well, we wish Cash Patel and Dan Bongino all the best in their work of reforming the FBI, because it needs to happen.
Yep. Steve, we got a minute to go here. What do you got? Got anything worth a minute?
Yeah, let's talk about ordering food from Uber Eats in Chicago.
Okay.
Because it's quite the adventure. We had an Uber Eats driver, and I'm looking for the story for the details here, but who got a little lost when he was delivering food, and it's a DoorDash, actually. I'm sorry, it's not Uber Eats, it's DoorDash, and he somehow got lost. It wound up in the middle of Chicago O'Hare Airport. He drove the DoorDash car over across runways trying to get food to somewhere, I guess. I don't know how he got lost, but how do you get inside?
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Supposedly they have airtight security at O'Hare.
Well,
how do you possibly get a DoorDash truck?
If I order my food, that's the guy I want, though.
Right?
That's right.
All right. Because he's gonna get it to you no matter what
like
it takes.
Post office.
He's going to bring the Taco Bell to you wherever
right.
you are.
He'll find you even if you're on the tarmac.
Neither ice nor glue nor Devnite.
Okay, hold on. All right, so say that one more time.
Or airport security.
DoorDash delivery driver drove into, apparently he drove for miles inside of the security fence before
I got
O'Hare
you.
Airport.
I got you.
And
oh,
drove
man.
Across runway yes. at O'Hare Airport.
That every day there's something
new. How is
that
new. Possible?
I don't know
that shaked your trust.
Somebody wanted their pizza.
Airport
really
security.
He was committed. He was going to get his tip.
Yeah, he was.
He might haven't done.
You'll need more than that to get out. Yeah, except for mail.
They wanted that Chicago deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
That's what they paid for.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Wesley and Steve and Chris and Brent Creeley, our producer, and Alex and Bruce. And we thank you for listening to the program today. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.